Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This episode is brought to you by Paramount Plus. Get in, loser! Mean Girls is now streaming on Paramount Plus. Join Katie Heron as she meets the plastics and Tina Fey's new twist on the modern classic. Get ready for more of the rumors, backstabbing, and jokes you loved from the original movie with some fetch surprises. Rated PG-13. Wear pink and head to ParamountPlus.com to try it free.
What's going on, everybody? Hope you are having a wonderful week so far. Podcast time. Tommy Farrow. I've had Tommy on pretty early on in the podcast. I can't remember what episode. And I love this dude. He's such a lovely guy. His career has gone from me knowing him as a nobody. He sent me his first track, Let's Just. I think he sent it to me end of 2019. I was playing it on my Open to Close tour in 2020 before pandemic hit. And I loved it. It was amazing. And then that was a really big record during the pandemic. Fucking wicked record. And then his career's just kind of grown from there. And I stay pretty in touch with him. And it's just amazing to see an artist go from nothing to having a career in music and still growing, which is amazing. So I'm going to stop rambling on. He also has a new single out, which you can go check out after you listen to this. Anyway, without further ado, Tommy Farrow. Thomas Farrow.
Hello, Phil. Hello.
You all right?
Yeah, I'm good, man. How are you?
Yeah, mate, what is going on in this spare room? There's a rifle. There is...
Wait, I haven't even looked myself. Because my studio is underground, it's the worst Wi-Fi ever. So I was like, right... Got to pick up the iMac and everything, and just found, yeah, this is like a spare room. So
there's literally a gun in the corner.
Oh shit! It's actually a toy gun. I think. Mate, none of this is mine. So if you see anything, audience, if you see anything, not mine.
It's so good. I love it.
But yeah, it's been a while, man. It's been. I mean, the last time I was on here was. Over 2 years ago, wasn't it?
During COVID, I think.
Yeah. And I remember freaking out when you asked me. I was like, I think you're like my first celebrity friend. So I was just like, shit. I was like so nervous. I remember my heart racing. And then, yeah, as soon as I got on, I was just buzzing.
Your level of celebrity by calling me a celebrity is so low as well, because I am the definitely not a celebrity.
I'd say yeah. I mean,
nah, man.
I also remember when you first FaceTimed me, and I was like, oh my god, I'm freaking out right now. I had that bright yellow hair. Do you remember when I dyed it myself in COVID?
I briefly remember.
Really, like, I got my mum to do it because I was like, well, I've always wanted to try it. And the whole thing was just like white, like yellow. And then I remember you just FaceTiming me. You were like, what the hell? Yeah, I know, it's gone wrong.
Yeah, because you were living at your mum, your parents then, weren't you?
Yeah, yeah. You were living in...
I was in Somerset.
Bristol, like, yeah, Somerset, yeah.
Yeah, man. And, God damn. Because I initially first came... You first sent your record to me, which was... What was the record? Oh, my God.
It was Let's Just and Can't Explain.
Let's Just was the first record. Yeah. And I was playing that 2020, the beginning of 2020.
Yeah, that's right. I sent it you in December. Or like, or maybe, and it came out in May, so... Yeah, so I was. Yeah, you were the first DJ to play it. I was just like, wow.
I really wanted to sign it, but I just, the record label just was not a record label. It would have been rude for me to sign that record.
Yeah. Yeah. It was good. Yeah, it was good memories, man. I think I remember sending you the stems for you to do some like mad Will Clark techno remix.
Yeah, you did get, you did send me the stems and I just didn't do anything with it.
Yeah, it's a shame we didn't, I didn't send it to more people. I mean, it would have been good for it to be a real club techno version of Let's Just, but
yeah, but it's just such an epic record anyway. It didn't need it. There was like, it just didn't need it.
Yeah, really. I think like the when we last did the podcast, I think I only still had Let's Just out. It was very new. I was very like, I felt like a baby. Like even now looking back, it feels so long ago.
Yeah,
and I was just so naive to everything. I was just having so much fun. And
you've grown a mustache now, mate.
I know, mate. I really. Basically, long story short, I'm saving myself for Easter holiday. So I'm like, I've not had a haircut for like over a month.
Well, when this comes out, just... when this comes out, it would have been gone. Easter, this comes out like the second week in March, in May.
I know. I thought, you know what? I'm not going out at all for the next 2 weeks. I'm just going to look a bit homeless. I don't care. And then yesterday, I was like, shit, I've got the podcast and he records it. But
mate, it's good. I've gone for the homeless look for the last 8 years of my life. Still rocking it.
Yeah, man. But yeah, it's crazy. So, yeah, I remember, I was just so naive and it was just, during lockdown, it was such a fun moment to be a producer, I thought. I just didn't have any care, any like overthinking. Like I was making a track a day back then.
Wicked.
And now like on average, it's like a track a bloody month. Like,
really?
Overthinking. No, I said, well, sometimes I can make a track in like 2 days, but I just overthink so much now. Mm. Now that the clubs are open and, you know, there's just...
What are you overthinking?
Just about... I think because lockdown, I was making anything.
Yeah.
Because the clubs weren't open, I was just like, one day I'd make garage, one day I'd make breakbeat, trance. And it was just having so fun with it. But now I'm like, oh, is this true to my sound? Is it like going to pop in a club? And I just think now I've got more of a name for myself, more people. I think more people are like kind of watching me. And obviously I'm overthinking it, but yeah, it was a bit easier back then.
Do you enjoy it?
Yeah, I love it. I'm at a point now where I'm really liking it, but I do have some times where I just like I'd be in the studio like 3 days in a row and just come out more annoyed than I did going in. Like I just, it really ruins my mood when I'm not in that right state of mind and I'm just forcing it. But no, I'm loving it at the minute. I'm having such good fun and I do enjoy it. But like I said, I do have the times where I'm just puts me in a foul mood because I wasted like a whole day and I'm just like...
I get it. I can relate. And for me, it's... Sorry, I've got... I'm burping like left, right and centre right now. It's not good. it's like... I remember that stage and I still can get like that sometimes, but I think for me, it's like, I've learned to go through it and you will eventually to like, be like, you know what? I didn't come up with something today, but it's the next step closer to coming up with something better for tomorrow or the next day or the next day or however long it takes. And it's just that process. You just can't make something good every day. No one can.
Yeah. That's it. A lot of my tracks, pretty much most of them, is just like, I guess it's just luck. I guess just one thing sounds good and then one thing falls into the other. And it's like, as long as you keep trying, you know, it's hard work meets luck. That's when you get, you know, success, I think. So it comes. And yeah, it's just patience. I saw a really good post from Lane 8 the other day. I don't know if you saw it. It's when he posted about his new track, Woman. And it was like, it was so just like real and like true, saying just like, every day he gets in the studio and he gets so like disheartened that he's just like on an 8-bar loop and he's just getting so annoyed. And I, you know, because sometimes you always just think that these producers are, you know, they always make gold every day.
Yeah, yeah.
Reality, like it, when he put that on Instagram, I thought, oh, so he's got the same kind of issue as me sometimes.
I think it's also we live in this really weird world where we all love club music, we all love like electronic dance music, because we're commercializing, and I mean commercializing as a sense where we have to run a business from what we do, there's parameters where we can sit between. And if we leave those parameters, it alienates everybody.
Yeah, 100%.
The thing is, if it's great if you can alienate people, but if you can go out of those parameters and people still get it, but it's also like very fucking hard. There's not many people that can do that. And like even like the biggest guys in the world, like they all have a specific sound or a through line. And I think that's the tough thing, is because we're constantly trying to make something new, but it also still has to sound like the last record to a certain extent.
Yeah, 100%. And that's what, like, going back to that, what I was saying earlier, it's just now I'm just thinking more tactical and, you know, is it my sound? Is it good? Is it a good follow-up and everything?
Yeah.
But at the minute, I'm writing some records for an exciting project, because I've brought it up to you before about self-releasing.
Yeah.
So I want to release like a self-release mixtape at the end of the year.
Sick.
And it's like, I think I want like 5 tracks. I've done 3 of them, kind of finishing 2, but I've just had so much fun writing them because I feel like I'm not writing for anyone.
Yeah.
It's just for me, and I've got my own direction creatively. That's why I just said I'm having so much fun in the studio at the minute.
It's nice that.
Really enjoying it.
What is it going to be? Is it going to be like what Frankie Wise just done?
He did like 27, right?
Yeah.
27. Yeah. I mean, it's not that big. It's like, I think it's like 5 tracks. Someone that's killed it is someone called Jasper Tigner. Have you heard of him?
Nah.
Yeah. He's like, he's kind of like Ross and Friend style. And did it through like LG 105. I don't know if you know them. Yeah. I think it's Warner. That's what I want to aim for. And yeah, he's just killed it on like all the Spotify like playlists and stuff. Like, it just shows that you don't actually need like a big record label. I was talking to him and he was like, mate, I honestly recommend it so much.
How did it work? How was it? So it's like you write 5 records and then just do a mixtape?
Yeah, and then so it's like 5-6 records, and then I'll release maybe 2 singles from it to begin with.
Yeah.
2 or 3, and then like the last day just have them all combined into 1 EP. I've seen quite a lot of people do it. I think because I've come from like quite an entrepreneurial background, that's what I did at business and stuff. I just love my own vision and working for myself kind of thing. So it just really entices me. And like I said, I'm in a studio and I'm just having so much fun of it, because I've not got, you know, I'm not making it for someone and it's not got to sound this certain way.
Well, I think this is the thing, because I remember like when you signed Let's Just, what was the record label? Stress. You did like, and I know like you did like 5 singles of Stress, was it? 5 single deal?
Something like that. 5-6, yeah.
Which like as an artist, it can be pretty like rough when you have to write 5 singles for a record label, especially at the beginning of your career where, like, no disrespect, I love Stress as a label, but like when you sign a new artist 3 to 5 singles, like it's tough, and I understand why labels do it, but you got a taste of the actual music industry very quickly. And I think that is probably actually the most valuable thing that happened so early on in your career, because you could be wanting to do that multiple times in like 5 years time, and you could get to a point where in 5 years time, you might sign a deal and have a bunch of money, but then you're like, well, fuck, I've got to release 5 singles or an album with this label, and they do fuck all.
Yeah, there's a long term you've got to think about always. I mean, they did a great job with me, Stress. But there was times where I was really pulling my hair out and thinking, like,
I know,
oh my
you
God,
called me.
I was like, it feels like everybody. Like, I mean, I was in a deal for 2 years and I didn't have a clue that I was in this deal, you know.
Yeah.
Didn't have a moment of signing. So, yeah, it was tough. And, you know, you learn lessons. And like I said, I did a good job. But, you know, it's definitely a lesson learned that not to sign a contract without a manager for a start.
Yeah.
And just making sure it's the right label and everything. But yeah, I'm really excited for the mixtape myself. I've always wanted to do it because I remember reaching out to you last year asking for advice, because obviously you release for your label, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just really excited. Just, you know, if it doesn't go well, then, you know, it's not like I'm stuck.
Well, you know, I don't think it's necessarily about it doing well or not. I think it's like, what are your goals? For me, like when I started the record label, I like had like a list of goals of what I wanted to achieve for every release. And from that, that's kind of how you measure your success from that. If you don't set those goals, and you have to be realistic. Like for me is like the first year I wanted every release to hit 1 million streams, which if I looked at my streaming history was not achievable at all. And it was like a very pipe dream. And I don't know how, but we smashed it out of the park.
Yeah.
But then, and the same with the second year, it was the same. The third year, which was last year, like goals were the same, hit 1 million on each release. And we didn't do it at all. None of my records last year on my label hit 1 million.
Right.
None of my records at all hit 1 million last year. Maybe a remix. I think a remix did. Okay. And then you have to go back and reassess, and it's like this year we're reassessing and how do we work through it and what changed and all of that. But I think for me is like, there's, if you set certain like achievable goals, you're not like setting yourself up for failure.
Yeah, that's a good idea. It's a good point, to be fair. I think the main thing with me is I just want consistency. Yeah. I want to really just line up the 5-6 tracks and be like, right, this is on this date, this is on this date, and just really, you know what I mean? I think that's so important in the music industry in this day and age. Just every 7-8 weeks, that's what we're trying to do at the minute.
Yeah,
getting my name in people's faces,
especially where you're at, where you like are still trying to grow something.
I'm at that stage now, and I have been ever since. Obviously, Let's Just was a hit; like it really was massive. Yeah. I think I'm at that stage in my career where I'm kind of chasing that high again. I kind of want the next thing. I think that's all I need. I just need one more to just be like, right, this is it. Like, he's really spreading his wings and he's touring different countries. Like, that's my dream. And it does feel like I'm chasing it a little bit. I'm like, okay, well, is it going to be the next record? Is it going to be the next record? But the thing is, it's just looking at the bigger picture and just, I always just think when I try and make myself feel better, I'm like, well, it doesn't matter. As long as one record is like really impacting someone and really touches someone, that's all that matters for me. Especially because my music's quite emotional and, you know, it travels quite far in that way. But yeah, that's how I see it. And that just calms me down a bit.
It can be really stressful though when you're chasing that. And it's also like, it changes the whole, I don't know about you, but for me, it changes the whole process of the studio as well when you're chasing that. And also like having like management and they're like, we need a hit. Not that managers necessarily, or some managers do, but like they can imply it, if you know what I mean.
I mean, when I was with my agent, that was a bit of a, that was very, like I felt a bit pressured because he was kind of saying, oh, you just need a big song. You need, you know. It was like, just make bangers in this. And I was like, oh, you know, it's a lot easier said than done, isn't it?
It's like, such a disrespectful thing to say to somebody as well, though. It's like, and I don't think agents, and I don't think people that work, I'm massively generalizing because not everybody would say that, but like the people that do say that to an artist don't realize how demoralizing that statement is.
I remember it so well. It's just like, I think I was just saying, oh, like, what's the next? How was it? I was trying to get booked for Warehouse Project again, which I did eventually, which was one of the happiest moments of my life. But, you know, I was just like, oh, you know, is there anything I can do? Can I message someone? Can I? And he was like, just make a banger. Like, just make a banger. And I was just like, fucking hell, like, yeah, it really did get to me, but it's just, it is what it is, isn't it? He's running a business at the end of the day.
Well, that's the thing is, like, agents, managers, anybody outside of the creative side, and don't get me wrong, like managers can be extremely creative and so can agents, and this is not me like talking shit on them, this is just me being realistic about it. It's like they are the business side of the industry, and when it comes to business, as you know, you studied business, like all emotions go out the window, and it's how do we fucking make money, whereas we're like crying into our pillows because we haven't written a hit record, and that's all of our team wants. It's just like
it's pressure, man.
It's so much pressure, but it's also, I don't know, has the pressure, Let's Just was a massive record and that was your first ever release, like how does that feel, like when you're like, oh, is that, yeah, how does that feel when you're like releasing another record?
Yeah, I mean, I do think quite a lot, like I wish Let's Just came out when there was no COVID. I love to think, because you know when people get a hit record nowadays, like, you know, like you got Shaq, you know, that song playing every weekend, like, you know, everywhere, I was just thinking like, damn, I wish that could have been me, like I wish that could have been me. But it's hard,
but it's not you, that's not you. That record, like if you put out, and I'm like challenging that statement because it's like that record, like we're using Shaq, for example, that record isn't you. You would never have released a record like that. Even if I was like, Tommy, I've got a hit record for you. It's this. Yeah. And you heard it and you're like, that's not Tommy Farrow.
True. I mean, just like the distance that it's traveled and how well it did on, you know, it was a hit, but I guess it's different. It was underground. So I probably wouldn't have got that many bookings, but yeah, I mean, it didn't really affect me. It never did. Between Two Planets was another real big song. Yeah. You know, Annie Matt was playing it midweek and stuff, and it's done really good streams. But I think the thing, if I could change something, I mean, I couldn't have changed it anyway. I think it just would have made so much of a difference if I was more consistent with my releases, if it was every 8 weeks. I think that would have made, so if I lined all my songs up that I've released and gone back in time and said, right, this is eight weeks, then I think it'd be a whole different story. But I think I just really just kind of, I was procrastinating and I was really just kind of like taking my time and was in a bit of a, not the greatest of headspaces with producing it sometimes. So yeah, it does take months at a time sometimes.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's what I'm trying to do at the minute. I'm just trying to, you know, get that consistency back.
Yeah, consistency is nice. It's really good. And then what will happen is one of the records will absolutely blow up. And then you're like, oh, I don't want to release a record now.
You've got that kind of, the pressure's off because, you know, that's doing the work for you. And you're like, okay, I can just chill a bit now.
Yeah, but in the situation with the mixtape, let's say, for instance, you'll release one record, the first record, and if it does really, really well and it's keeping going, you don't want to ruin that with pulling out another record. So you'll then be like, oh shit, let's hold back another 8 weeks and let it do its thing. But then you're kind of back at that square one again where you're not being consistent with releasing.
I don't think it matters if you've got a real big song and it's doing amazing. I don't think it matters too much if you're holding back.
Don't think it matters, but
no,
it then goes back to that thing is where you're not being consistent on releasing music.
Yeah, I guess so. But I guess that's a good thing about the mixtape. I kind of got my own freedom, you know, dates and stuff and whatnot. But yeah, man, really excited. I mean, I've got a single out this Friday. You have as well, haven't you? You've got Father Out finally.
Out, yeah. Well, it's out now. It's technically, when this comes out, it's out already.
Oh, right. Yeah. True. Yeah, so it's my single, actually, Colours of Love. I'm so looking forward to this release.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that's trance because you don't like it, but it's very trancey. But it's like, yeah, I've been wanting to do something like this ever since I started making music because it's really inspired by love and relationships.
Mm.
And I'm hella, like, if you go through, like, my catalogue, a lot of my, you know, my song titles are, you know, love inspired titles. And I'm so inspired by it. So yeah, it's called Colors of Love. And then we've got like a teaser, like a minute teaser. And I've managed to get loads of submissions of couples like being together.
That's what
it is. And I reached out to this guy that's like real professional videos. And he was like, yeah, you can have some. And I put it together and I'm like, man, this is what I've dreamt of doing for so long. Like, finally, I've got like my little music video, my song that matches so well. So yeah, I'm super excited for this release.
What label is it on?
Very much. It's on Armada. Yeah, so I've got two more singles with them. The deal. So Armada, yeah, they're doing great at the minute. They've got lots of real good releases. Great team. And then, yeah, I've got one more after that and then hopefully the mixtape. So yeah, very looking forward to it, man.
Yeah, Armada's doing some things at the moment.
It's really
interesting there how they're doing it. It's like release a bunch of music and let's see which one sticks and kind of just roll with it.
They do release a lot of music. That's the only thing. A lot, like sometimes on a Friday there's like four or five releases.
Yeah.
And I'm one of them. Oh shit. It's a bit annoying. But I mean, for me it was just a team. Like the team was so amazing. Like, you know, Ben Malone.
Yeah.
You got Reggie who worked at Radio 1 for like 15 years and just like family. So for me, that was the most important thing.
Yeah, they do a great job. And I think that's the thing is like you're kind of in major territory, major record label territory to like major indie kind of. So it's like you can't be mad that they are releasing 5-10 records on one day because at the end of the day, they have to pay the bills. Whereas like an indie's like if an indie's doing more than one release on in a month, people get pissed. But it's like, I get it. And what they're doing at the moment is really, really fucking amazing, to be fair.
Yeah, they're doing really good. And it's nice because they've got, you know how much I love Trance Wax. He's got a release out next week. Jacka. You've had like Dennis and Pika release on with them, like Alan Fitz. Because at first when Ben reached out, I thought, nah, I was like, I'm trying to get away from this trance bad image that I might have. And then, yeah, it's just good timing because then other people are releasing with them. And
Trance is cool now, mate. Trance is cool.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I'm waiting for the day you release a trance track, you know. Like, it's
never going to happen.
Yes, it will. I love how defensive you get. Okay.
I mean, it's really funny because one of my best mates, Mika, aka Born Dirty, he thinks I like trance. Like, he gives me, because he hates trance on another level. I like trance. Like, I like good trance. But and trance is obviously fashionable right now. It's like having its moment again, and I'm happy for everybody that likes trance because they're fucking the happiest people on this planet. When you got is Calvin's record still number one?
Yeah, it's doing really well.
Yeah, like it's,
that's why I'm so glad. Like me, speak to my manager the other day. Like releasing Colors of Love, it's such good timing. Like it's probably my trance's record to date. But it's cool trance. It's like, it's not too fast. It's nice chords and stuff. But such a timing because it's on everyone's lips. So, yeah, I mean, I sent it to Danny Howard and he absolutely loved it. So I was like, yes, this is a good sign.
That's great. I wonder I wonder how long trance will last again this time.
I mean, I've been in the trance game for a while now. I've been doing it for about 3 years. So,
do write trance.
Trance influence. Yeah, so so 3 years, I feel like it's, you know, I was first originally inspired by Trance Wax, so he's the actual OG here, but yeah, man, it's good. I think people just love the emotion.
Well, that's the whole point of trance, right? It is emotive.
Yeah, I mean, Colors of Love, it's been on Above and Beyond's Group Therapy radio show like twice in a row.
Yeah.
And like the average age is probably about 40.
Yeah.
And the comment section is just crazy, like super fans. Like you don't get that with people my age for sure. Like it's such a relief to see like Colors of Love is so good.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And I mean, like the reach that they have on their radio shows is crazy.
It's crazy. Trance fans, I've always said this, trance fans are the best fans you can ever wish for because they will literally stay with you until you die. Like no word of a lie. Like I used to record DJ sets at Cream in Ibiza, and for a podcast years ago.
When you had hair.
Yeah, I had hair then. I didn't have a beard. And they, the like Paul Van Dyk, Armin van Buuren, who else? Like literally every classic trance person that was out there. And you'd look out into the crowd and it was an older crowd. They were diehard fans. Like you wouldn't get that in tech house. You wouldn't get that in maybe in techno for some people, but it's they're not the fans what you would get in trance. Trance fans are just fucking diehards.
I played a gig. Do you know Grum? He's like a junior artist.
Yeah.
Played with him at Steel Yard in London back in November. And again, the average age was like 30, 40. And I had kind of a warm-up set. I think I was 12 to 1, actually, so it wasn't too bad. No phones. Everyone was just jumping. Mm. Like, I wasn't really playing trance. It was just melodic techno.
That's trance. Come on.
Yeah, kind of. But they were just absolutely loving it. And for me, one of my favourite things is when I do shows. I had the headline show in Liverpool a few weeks back. And had a couple people, in their 40s, 50s, travel from like Manchester and stuff, just by themselves to see me. And I do reckon because they're always the ones that DM me all the time and comment on every single post. So I get them backstage and it's just like, they're such diehards. And they message me the next day, like, couldn't believe it. Like, you know, I was goosebumps from start to finish. I just felt so amazing. Like, they're just the best people.
That's what you do it for though, right?
Yeah, and they're always like sober. So what the hell? It's my favorite. One of easily my favorite things about the music I make is the older crowd that it attracts. Because they're always the people that comment on the YouTube clips, on your posts, the lovely DMs. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's
really out of love.
It takes out all of the like stress and all of the like pressure that we put on ourselves
I was just about to say, relating back to what I was saying earlier, like they're the people that I'm like, well, if they're buzzing with the track, then that's absolutely fine, then I've done my job, you know. They're the people that I kind of produce for. It feels great.
That's the thing. And then it kind of takes that pressure away from you, or you forget about your agent telling you to write a hit record.
Because
it's like, fuck 100%. You there's like there's literally people that pay to see me. It might not be a million people, but there's people that are paying to see you, and you as an agent, no one's paying to come and see you, so fuck yourself.
100%. For sure. How was your, I mean, you did like a big tour, didn't you? Have you finished it?
No, mate, my life just carries on touring.
Oh, it's hard for some people. Flipping aura. Because I seen you, my friend was watching you in India a few weeks ago.
So that was in February, mate.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
February.
Yeah, I mean, it's all like March just flew by.
It's mad. May, when this is out, and we're in April now, and it's just like, this year is... When this is out, we're nearly halfway through the year.
For real?
For real. May the 9th, this is coming out, I think.
Okay, that's crazy. Yeah, it's really, really crazy. I mean, I had 3 weeks off from the studio in March. It was the best thing ever.
I've never done that. Never done that long.
Well, I kind of had an excuse. I kind of, you know, I met a lady friend.
Oh, yeah, you told me about this.
I just forgot about the world.
You've gone to the dark side of America. you've chosen an American girl over an English girl.
Mate, best thing ever, ever.
Are you still in love?
Yeah.
Is she?
Definitely. Yeah. Sick. I mean, I booked my flights yesterday to visit her, going to LA, 18 days. So
fucking hell, man. That's dedication.
I know. I don't really want to tell all my private life. Yeah, because I was going to tell you a bit more about. I've actually tried it with when you're DJing in San Diego, though. Because aren't you DJing on like the first?
Can't say it. You're not allowed to say it. No, I'm not DJing in San Diego.
Wait, what? I thought you was.
Mate, we're not allowed to fucking say it online.
Oh.
We're not allowed. No one's allowed to know. So. Just ignore that bit. we didn't say any dates.
I could finally meet the hunky junky techno king Will Clark, because we've never actually met, have we?
Oh no, we haven't.
So that's gonna be really fun.
It'd be like little and large, mate. You're like 6'6", aren't you?
I'm 6'5", yeah. Fuck, what are you again, like 5'2" or something?
Mate, I'm 5'3". Come on, give me that extra inch.
That was so funny. You can go on my shoulders in the rave. That'd be funny.
Literally. You'll go on mine. But yes, I will think I will be in California around the same time.
Okay, good. We can finally meet. That's amazing.
Yeah.
I think we're trying to meet Duke Dumont out there as well. He's DJing in LA. We've got a nice collab going at the minute.
Sick, yeah. I was at his house the other day.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was in LA for last week, but technically not last week. But yeah, like, just catching up with him, which is good.
Yeah, he's cool, man. He's one of the nicest, caring people I've met in industry. Like, sometimes I'm like, why does he like me this much? Because he rings me, like, you know, it's been like every week, and each phone call is like 2 hours at a time.
The Duke phone calls are long. I love them. Oh, they're long.
They are so long. He loves to talk. He really loves to talk.
The words of wisdom from Duke Dumont. Gotta love them.
I think all I say at the whole 2 hours is just, yeah. I just can't speak. I'm like,
Oh, that was so good.
But yeah, he's honestly just he's been so great. And yeah, we have a really good collab together. So I'm hoping maybe when I'm out there, I could visit him. Or I don't know if he's super low key about where he lives, but I could go for a coffee. I don't know.
I'm sure, good to meet him. I'm sure you'll hang out with him for sure. Will this be the first time in America?
Me?
Yeah.
No. So I went to Disneyland like 3 times when I was a kid. Yeah. So I've been so desperate to go back. Like, I think the last time I went was like 10. So we're talking, or maybe like 15. So we're talking a long time, 10 years or so. But I've always been to Florida. So I've never actually been to the West Side. West Side.
So you do in LA, San Diego?
Yeah. Oh, and I think Laguna Beach.
I was there a couple weeks ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it?
It's nice. It's very quintessential American California. Like, you will see dudes with their shirts off, like skateboarding. Like,
that's what I want.
It's literally the movies.
Yeah, that's exactly what I want. I want a real American experience. Yeah, I'm so excited, man. 82 days and counting.
Can you drive?
Yeah.
You should definitely hire a car.
Yeah, I mean, she's got a car, so we'll
make her drive.
So yeah, but I mean, it's annoying because I wanted to get a couple gigs out there as well, but like the whole visa things, like my manager said it costs like $7,000 or something crazy.
It'll probably cost about $5,500-$6,000.
That's crazy.
But it's not really worth, like, if you don't do a show when you're not on a visa, because you'll get banned for 10 years. If you get caught.
Wow. Yeah, no, it's not worth it then. Okay, I'm glad I asked you that.
Yeah.
Because I was wondering if there's any ways around it, but no, it's not worth it.
There are ways, but like, not for you. Like, you have...
Can't be asked to stress.
Is your name... Your real name is your artist name, right?
Yeah, Thomas.
Yeah, it's not worth it because they can Google you and they can see what you do and all of that. And
yeah, just, I'd rather my first like US gigs to be like an actual tour, yeah, like an actual, that's what I'm actually going out there to play, you know?
Yeah, yeah, just it will happen, man. It will.
Oh yeah, I'm certain. I'm really confident. I've got a good team. And
or you could just get married and then you can work out there whenever you want.
Yeah, I mean, I'd definitely live in America like 5 to 10 years. But I, like, you've obviously known the difficulty of building an audience here and an audience there.
It's, I mean, fucking so hard.
It's so different. You've got to really be big, like camel fat, you know, to really just smash it both.
Yeah, it's really, really hard. Like, for me, England is just, like, we've got a few things coming in now. And I don't know how, like, I fired my agent in the UK and I have more offers coming in the UK than when I did have an agent in the UK.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's fucking weird. But like, Europe's, we have agents in Europe and they're doing really good jobs. And like, I'm playing in Germany more, Spain more, and Ibiza as well. But like, it's really tough. You, and without sounding like a dick, to have a very solid worldwide tour and you need to have had a hit record.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
Like, unless you're just, because you can have a huge touring career and just not tour the world. You can just have certain territories. Like, there's some DJs that just stay in Germany and they tour a great life just in Germany. In America. America's very easy to, well, I say easy. Like, once you have a touring career in America, you can earn reasonably good money and you can kind of just stay in America. But that alienates you from the rest of the world, because the world don't, the electronic music world doesn't look at America as like forerunners of the dance music scene, which is crazy to me, because there's personally, there's some of the best parties, some of the best festivals, some of the best scenes here. But yeah, how's your UK stuff going?
It's good, man. It's weird with my gigs. I'd have like four in one month and then I'd be dry for like 4 weeks again. They always just come in one go.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've got a Sheffield show this weekend. I always love playing my hometown, Sheffield, it's all my mates.
Yeah.
I've got a really good Nottingham one coming up. I've got London. I love London shows, man. Yeah. I'm tempted to move to London soon.
Yeah.
So I played them in January with Tabasco, and I just realized how much, again, diehard fans are in London.
Yeah.
More than anywhere in the UK. Like, I went in the crowd for a bit and just, I felt so awesome. Like, everyone was coming up to me, like, asking for pictures, saying hello. And that's when I knew, I was like, yeah, London is just way awesome for music.
It's just way more people there as well.
Yeah, it is. It was really fun. It was, every time I go to London, I'm loving it more and more at the minute. It's just handy because the Armada offices are there and it's just such a great team. And I feel like I'm just building a nice community of like producers in London.
It's really important
I don't have that anywhere else, really. Like, but yeah, it's just a shame. It's a bit expensive, isn't it?
It's fucking expensive, but there's also a level of it. It's like, it makes you put the grind on and you're like, okay, I have to make this work if I want to live in London. There's like...
That's the thing. About, because I don't want to move there and just my whole life be music. That's the only reason, that's the only thing that's stopping me at the minute. I like being up north in Manchester and Sheffield because I've got my life outside of music. You know, I've got friends that I've grown up with, and I feel like if I lived in London, I would just be around producers and I'd feel pressured, you know, comparing myself maybe. And yeah, I don't know. That's my only worry.
I get it, but I think that slowly like changes as you kind of grow there more and you kind of meet new people and when you first go there all you know is producers and industry people. But also, like, sounds really depressing, but that is our lives. Like, majority. I've got like really close friends in the UK, none of them are in the industry. I got a really like five people in Detroit that are like super tight friends that aren't in the industry. But like everybody else I know is all through the industry. All of my other friends are all through the industry. I guess it's just like, it's very easy to just like congregate with music folk because you can all relate to each other.
Yeah, yeah. But that's the only thing. Sometimes, like, I've been to London and I go to these events, like the Mixed Mag Live and everything, and I just feel a bit like everyone's, like, just talking about themselves in a way. Like, yeah. Oh, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. And I'm like,
it's weird.
I'm talking about someone else, yeah. Like cookies or something.
Yeah, I try.
It's just music. It's just, I don't know. It's a bit.
I try and I totally agree with you, and I think it's actually not that healthy. I think you have to have a balance of like other life, because when your life is fully immersed into one thing, you become boring. Yeah. You become so boring, and your music becomes boring.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm quite guilty of comparing myself to people.
Yeah,
as in, you know, on Instagram, someone's doing this really amazing live show in their room, and stuff. I'm like, well, I can only play the keyboard. I just guess most of the time, and it just makes you like, oh fuck, I should be doing this, should be doing that, and you know, someone else's release is blowing up. I'm like, oh well, you know. What am I doing wrong? But yeah, I think everyone's kind of guilty, aren't they? I think
the whole comparison thing is definitely something that happens throughout everyone's life, not just in music, but in
life. Yeah.
But I think during COVID for me, I don't get me wrong, I still compare myself to others sometimes, but during COVID it stopped for me. Massively stopped, because it made me realize that like there's space for everybody, and even like, who do you compare yourself to? Let's talk about it.
What is who do I look at and think, fuck, they're doing amazing, and I need to catch them? I'd say Tabasco.
Okay,
like they're feeling it at the minute, and I'm like, because we kind of started at the, well no, they've started way before me, but we both had the same manager, and we were kind of like equal at the time, like 2-3 years ago, and they've just like rocketed. I mean, they've produced for a lot more longer than me, but yeah, I look at them, I'm like, wow, everything's just so perfect. Like their Instagram, they're so good at social media, they got such a great label and team, and I'm like, I'll get there eventually soon. But yeah, that's a good example.
But I also think that's the thing, is like you can compare yourself to them, but then you're not them.
Yeah,
you're not making the same music as them. You haven't been doing it as long as them.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, there's two of them.
Yeah, true, true.
So they have double the brain. Also, like, it's just, you could never be them, but they could also never be you.
Yeah, it's so true. It's just because they're so amazing. Like, everything they do is so awesome. But I'm inspired by it. I learn, and yeah, it's not like a bitter thing. It's like, wow, you guys are fucking awesome.
Yeah, it's not jealousy. Yeah.
Not at all. It's healthy competition, but not really competition either. It's just, yeah, it's motivation, I guess. But yeah, again, like I think the sound in the UK at the minute, that's popping, is just that garagey kind of dancey stuff. You know, all I hear on Radio 1 is that kind of style.
It's pretty shit.
So I think it got harder for like melodic or like emotional stuff to break through on like radio, and especially Spotify. Like, you know, all the big playlists are just house records, you know?
Yeah,
so I think it's a lot for my.
There's a lot of stuff that just doesn't make sense to me personally. Like, there's some fucking amazing music out there, and it's just not getting the ears to it because it's not part of a scene or it's not part of a sound.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah,
but that is the joys of the fucking music industry, and you just got to keep going and keep doing you, because there is a niche that likes it.
Yeah, the thing I love about my music is that it just travels far and wide internationally, and I feel like it takes a bit longer, but once you're there, like, you're there, and you're like a global superstar, like Camel Fat, Frankie Wah, you know, all the melodic artists are really, they're big.
Frankie's done really well.
Mm.
It's been really interesting to see what he's done from COVID to now. It's really interesting.
It is, yeah. Crazy seeing all these different, you know, routes that people, the artists take, and different tactics, and you know, it's great to see.
Yeah, I think it's also like the business side of the industry, right? There's some people, like, realistically, like, it's not necessarily always about the music in a lot of these situations. It's just about how it's run business wise, and there's some people that are extremely successful, but they haven't had that hit record that we all think is the hit record. But it's that consistency of constantly having good records out there or doing something different in the scene or whatever. And everyone just has to find their niche.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, 100%. That's it. It's having your own little sparkle. That's all your, that's the vibe.
What's the record label going to be called?
Ooh, good question. It's going to be called The Night We Met.
Nice.
Yeah, I love it. I called it, it was a night that I did back in, well, last year. Because, you know, it's to do with like love and romance. And
yeah,
I made a name and I thought, actually, I really fucking love this name. So yeah, it's a cool name. I'm just going to keep it. But I'm not sure, I don't really want to shout about it being my own record label to start off with. I want it to just be more about the mixtape.
Do it. Doesn't have to be about the record label.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm actually going to call the mixtape The Night We Met as well. Okay. I want it to just really resonate with everyone.
You can do The Night We Met Volume 1 and then Volume 2 and then just keep that going.
I'm so excited. I just feel like everything's coming together and it all just makes sense, the branding and stuff. So,
have you got somebody doing the branding for you?
No, not yet. I need a new artist. But we've got time. Just making sure just the last couple of songs are finished and then it's go time. So excited for it, man.
Are you going to do it as a mix as well?
Could do. Yeah, I could do. I would like, I'm quite inspired by having like, what do you call them? Are they called intervals?
Interludes.
You know, like, 30-second.
Yeah, interlude. Ones,
like maybe, yeah, like interlude, that's it. Yeah, just like maybe a voicemail, like a really kind of cool, you know, a little quirky things in there. So it's kind of like a little bit like an album.
Should
like the whole like Drake vibe.
You should do it, man. 100%.
But yeah, I'm excited. I just love my own creative direction. And
well, I think when you're doing something by yourself and for yourself, there's like, you can't blame anyone.
That's just what I was about to say. Yeah, 100%. I've always like, as a promoter for our university, I always did everything by myself. I never had a team just because I work harder than anyone I know, really. I'm like, okay, I'm just gonna, I don't really like relying on much people because it's like you said, it's just got yourself to blame. So it's like going fully in.
Do it, man. Do it. That's wicked.
Yeah, man.
What are your plans this summer apart from loving?
Falling in love more, yeah. In love more. Yeah, I mean, what have I got? I've got a few shows here and there. I've kind of taken it easy this summer, to be fair. I think I'm moving to Manchester around June time. So I've been in Sheffield for around 7 years now.
Yeah.
And it's a proper like university city. So people come to uni and then leave.
Yeah.
So when you go, everybody's just young and like,
yeah.
I mean, I saw Claire Robinson a few weeks ago and at Dr. Banana, and everyone was just like, looked about 19. Didn't work there for the music. I was like, wow, this really sucks.
Yeah.
I just think that Manchester or London just has that next age group where they're young working professionals. And
well, people stay there. That's the thing with university towns. It's like people don't stay there.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, so I'm excited for that. I've got such a good studio in my house. We've built it like underground in the basement. It's like a proper living room. All soundproofed. So that's the only thing, because moving elsewhere, it's like, well, most places in Manchester are apartments and flats, and being able to play out loud is a myth. So I don't have to pay for a studio. It's going to cost way over a grand. So I'm just expensive. Kind of just going with the flow and seeing what pops up.
Would you prefer Manchester or London?
Manchester first. I think it's a nice stepping stone. Like, I just think I've still got all my people up here and I've got that other side to music. And I feel like when I move to London, I want to be maybe like 2 years.
Yeah.
And I'd love to move when I'm like popping.
You'll be in San Diego then, mate.
No, she can come with me. She can come with me. That's the plan. So yeah, I'm really excited. I'm really excited for everything.
That's cool, man. I'm
what about you? Have you got any? I guess you're just fucking touring all summer, probably.
Yeah, busy summer. Really busy summer, which I'm fortunate for. Just writing. Finishing off some like really interesting podcast projects, which is cool.
You write for people quite a bit, don't you, as well? Like ad production.
Yeah, a bit. I've got like a couple of people that I'm writing for at the moment.
They always seem to pop as well. Like like when I'm look, I do look at him quite a lot of credits. I'm like, damn, this guy knows what he's doing.
I don't know how. It's just luck, mate.
Do you feel like it's better? It's easier writing for like ad production like, on other projects.
I don't know. Like, yes, because I'm less like critical attached to it. So like, who have I like? I don't know. It's a bit salty, but like the Dead Mouse and Cascade record.
Yeah, yeah.
That was technically supposed to be a Will Clark record.
I remember you sending it to me ages ago, the original. Yeah. And I was like, I've heard them vocals before.
Yeah.
It was really bugging me for so long. So
that was technically supposed to be mine, and politics got involved and it got blocked. And turned out to be, it was a messy thing.
Really? I thought you just gave up with it and thought, fuck it.
It wasn't messy because of Dead Mouse and Cascade. They were great. It was just somebody else that was involved on the writing that caused it a very messy situation. And yeah,
it happens
and it's fucking very sad that it happens. I think like when I'm working with like some other people, and it's very easy when I'm writing records that aren't Will Clark records.
Because
I can just be like, do you like this? Yes or no? Just tell me. I don't care if you don't like this, because it makes no difference to me. But just like, you're sat next to me in the studio, let's fucking get on with this. And it's just nice. And it's really nice. I've been working with a couple of women recently, and it's really nice to just like write a bunch of records, and then their records just get signed like fucking like that, and it's just like Jesus Christ, like this is amazing. And like they're all like record labels that are just like cool shit, and I'm like, damn, I would never be able to get on those record labels as who I am as an artist. So that's like it's really fun, and it for me it helps me to step up, like, you know what you were saying when you had like a month off, like that's my time off, is when I can just write for somebody else and just not have to think about my stuff. I've like changed my writing since COVID. I've changed my writing like process, and it's like very much I book time in my calendar to write for me, and then I book time to go and write sessions. So I go and write songs with people, with vocalists and top liners, and then I'll go back into the studio and then finish them for myself, or I will then get booked to write for other people. And so it's like, it's a lot of like to and from in, and like a lot of spending time in the studio, and but it seems to really work for me.
See, that's one thing I do. So do you kind of have like a schedule? Because I don't at all. And that's my problem. I'm in the studio till like 11 at night sometimes, and then I have like the craziest night terrors because my brains are just crazy. So, and I need to start doing that for sure.
I think I used to be like that, and I used to, like, even a couple of weeks ago, well, it would be maybe a month ago, Born Dirty came to England. And we did some sessions, and we were up till like 4 o'clock in the morning writing. And like, I don't really ever do that anymore. Like, the latest time is like 1 o'clock in the morning, but that's if I'm like on a roll. But at 4 o'clock in the morning, it felt fucking amazing. It felt so good to just be like in it and just be like, fucking love it. Like, you start at like 10 in the morning, and then you like keep going, have dinner, like take a couple of hours off, and then go back in. It's the best feeling. Like, when you're on a roll with something, it's fucking amazing.
But that's it. Like, time just flies, doesn't it?
But also, is like, you can't force that. And I'm working on something at the moment where it's like, it's been a year in the making, and it still is like, it's nearly finished, but still not finished. And then you're like, oh, cool. Like, some of these things that you've been making, people won't hear two years later.
100%. Yeah, that's one of the mixtape tracks, is from like 2.5 years ago.
Yeah,
it's like, yeah, it's crazy. But because that's a good thing, because it's such a crazy track, like, I couldn't tell you the genre of it. It's like, It's 134 BPM and the drums are just so weird and amazing. But I wouldn't be able to get that signed.
Yeah.
Because of how weird it is. But for the mixtape, it's perfect.
It's wicked, though. That's the thing is, like, why do you need to get things signed when you can just do it yourself? Now,
I'm so excited to see the outcome of it. Because if it bangs, if it goes well, I'm like, fuck it.
But even if it doesn't, you're putting art out that
true, yeah,
that is
yeah.
So what you want to do, which, yeah, again, it might alienate some people. Some people might be like, what the fuck is Tommy Farrow doing? But there's going to be some people that will be like, I dig this a lot. And this is exactly what I wanted.
He's got balls. Yeah.
Don't know about that, but.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I back you 100%.
I'm like all for like Kyle Watson. I don't know if you know Kyle Watson. He's a DJ producer. Yeah, yeah. He's just released a record label. Rebuke's just relaunched his record label as well.
So many people are.
And I think it's just like the way it's going now. Like,
yeah,
gone of the days that you still need some associations to a certain extent, but like gone of the days of where you need that like associate that like books you to play your shows. Like people now are like being like, look at TikTok. Like look at Stella Bossi. She's not signed to a fucking label. Like you don't know her because of her label. You know her and you don't necessarily know her because of her music. And that's no disrespect. It's just the way the music industry is now is you know her through her TikTok. And there's a massive argument for and against that. But still, like these people don't need the gatekeepers to gatekeep them.
It's great. I like it, man. It's good. People are doing their own thing. A lot of people have their own labels now, but I feel like you do have to kind of get to a certain level for it to really pop. I don't know.
I think you need to, like, you don't have to get to a certain level. Like, you look at, like, I think it's like Tyler the Creator, like, started off with nothing. And now, look, he's like the biggest artist in the world that isn't signed to a label. And you're like, fuck, it can happen. But yeah, pipe dream, right? It can happen, but it also cannot happen. So like you could be slaving away, but that's the joys of the industry. That's why we're all a record away from having the biggest record in the world.
Hell yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I'm excited for Father being out to the world. Sick record, man.
Yeah, man. I'm glad that it's out. Or when this is out, it's out. But it's weird. Again, that's another weird one. 2019, I wrote that.
Yeah, I remember you sending it to me and being like, oh my God, I'm going to play this every fucking... And I have. I played it so many, like, festivals, clubs. So good. I played it so many. Yeah, Motion and Wales Project. Yeah, it's wicked tune, man.
Yeah.
It's nice. It's technology. You've got, like, a total different vibe compared to Searching, I guess. This is more like your world-class signature sound, isn't it?
Yeah, Searching... Because
Shermanology... It's actually a normal kick drum in Searching.
Shermanology, obviously they're not on this record, but that's Dorothy singing it. But like they're just the best. I love what they do. And the reason why they're not on the record is because this record is so far away from what they would do. Like they're just like, look, we can't put our name to this because it's so far away.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay. Sick.
Which I respect and totally get that, but
makes sense.
Searching was a really interesting record. It was like more of I had a concept in my head to like write a record like this, like Searching. Whereas Father started as like a club record, and then Dorothy, we all got on a Skype. I remember it was in this room like 2019 before COVID. It was like the summer of 2019. And I gave them a backing track and they wrote to this backing track and they sent it back to me and I was like, this is cool. But they sent like a whole song and I just took like the hook part of it and rewrote it into Father. So it's like completely different record. Yeah,
it's hard for like a song to not be about love and for it to be really good, because I feel like most lyrics, especially writers, they just talk about love, and with Father it's just such good lyrics, so powerful and strong.
It's just I think the whole love thing's just very easy because people can relate to it, right? Everyone can relate. Yeah, everyone's been heartbroken and everyone's been in love. Not, oh, I like to hope everybody has been in love. So it's easy. It's like an easy writing conversation. For me, it's like, when I'm writing songs, I want to try and be a bit more visual. And it's like, how can we visualize this? How can we write lyrics that like, that somebody can imagine something happening rather than feeling it?
Yeah. 100%. It's so good. I wanted to ask you, like, when you were writing Searching, like, I've never wrote a track for like an instrumental for a singer to then sing on it. Like, I've never done that. Is it hard? Is it easy? Like, because for me, I always write a track, put like a splice vocal on it, and it works. And I'm like, oh, actually, I'd rather get an original. Yeah. But I've never wrote a track, an instrumental from the start, because it just sounds so empty. And I just feel like, well, this is missing a lot.
It's tough because Searching was a very melodic record anyway. Like, it had a lot of melody.
Yeah.
So it worked without the vocal. But when I'm writing records, I don't really ever write, or I used to back then, but I never do it really anymore. I don't write a record as an instrumental and then get a vocalist to sing on it. I usually write a record with a vocalist to in the room, and then go away and rewrite it.
Yeah.
I find that way more easier.
But
I guess you have to at a certain point, because when you're not doing sessions and you don't live in London or something like that, you kind of have to get records with vocalists to a certain extent. You don't have to, but if that's what you want, you're kind of writing instrumentals and then having to do sessions on it. It's really weird, the whole sample thing as well, because you can find a sample on Splice or wherever, and you want to recreate that, but you're never going to recreate that.
Well, that's the problem me and Duke have had in our collab. We've had such a good sample, but we found out Cascade already used it, and we just wanted something fresh. So we reached out to the original vocalist, and man, it was just completely opposite. We were like, all right, just same vibe, you know. Yeah, really struggled. But you think it would be quite easy to, you know, to re-sing a sample or similar vibe, but it's hard, isn't it?
It's really hard, and it's really hard to like be like, copy this. It's like your agent telling you to go write a banger like this person.
It just
doesn't work. So it's tough, but I think that is the good thing about like becoming, like working with more and more people, you learn to be able to guide them a bit better of like exactly what you want.
And
being honest with them. But there's so many amazing vocalists and top liners out there.
Need to send me some. I'm struggling. there is a few. There's
Your manager's a fucking publisher.
Yeah, man. I mean, I'm signed to Sony Publishing as well, man. But I don't know. Maybe I need to just start being a bit more fierce.
I think it's just like And in this, for me, like, people forget about me unless I'm telling them that I want something.
Yeah.
Like, they all have somebody bigger, right?
Yeah.
Like, somebody's so always bigger than you. No matter how big you are, even if you're Calvin Harris, there's somebody bigger than you. So until you're at the point where you are their main focus, you have to be your main focus for yourself to then make them your main focus.
Yeah.
Same for anything. So you have to tell them every week, I want this, I want this, I want somebody like this. Can you get this person? Can you book me in a session with here? Like, doing sessions, it can be demoralizing because it's a lot of hard work. But at the end of the day, we're in the music writing business. You have to write music to have songs.
Yeah, for sure. 100%. Definitely, dude. Sometimes I always just think, oh, am I nagging too much? But I feel like that's not really... is that not something you're asked about?
No. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Because it's like, at the end of the day, like, I want to be successful. And
yeah.
The fact that I'm asking somebody else to help me, like, they're going to be successful if I'm successful.
They're going to benefit as well. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Like, everybody wins. Like, if I win in this industry, everybody else wins around me.
Yeah, yeah.
It's what I do it for. Like, I don't do it just for myself. Like, I do it. My manager has a family. I want to be successful so him and his family have an amazing life. Same with my agents. Like, same with everyone around me. Like, my marketing team. I want them to be successful through me. I want to be able to pay them a shit ton of money and give them a nice life.
Nice. You are the business. That's it as an artist, isn't it? You are a business and you make people money.
Yeah, 100%. And then...
Feel quite cool, it's nice.
Yeah, you have to look at it as a business. It's like, if you don't ask, you don't get as well.
Yeah, very true.
Pretty much.
Very true, man.
Mate, let's wrap this up.
So
how can people follow you? How can people listen to your music, etc., etc.?
Yeah, Instagram, Tommy Farrow Music, same as my Spotify, Tommy Farrow. And yeah, I think when this comes out, is it, you say it's May or June?
Yeah, second week in May, I think.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Colors of Love, if you've already heard it, you know what to do. And yeah, so we're actually making a proper music video for it, so I'm hyped.
So is that going to be out?
Pardon?
Is that going to be out when, by the time this
comes
out?
Yeah, just, it's coming out Friday, but I reckon it's going to be another 3 weeks or so. Cool, so man. If you've got a lover, send me a little submission. send me a little video submission. Doesn't have to be a lover, can be your pet, can be a friend.
Love that. Cool, man.
Keep safe. I saw that Instagram photo the other day.
What was that?
I saw that Instagram photo the other day. You in the vest. I was like, damn, this guy showed his skin.
I hated that photo. But
I was like, this is quite this is ballsy for my man.
Yeah, we're trying to change things up. Trying to switch up, mate. Right,
brother.
Keep safe. Thank you, man. See you in a bit. Love you, dude. Keep safe. Bye.
See you, dude. Love you.
Big love to Tommy for coming on. Enjoy the podcast. If you did enjoy it, actually, please share. Love you forever for doing that. Keep safe. See you next time.
Every day, we rise, challenging ourselves to work for what we believe in. At U.S. Border Patrol, protecting our borders is more than a job. It's a calling. Agents answer the call, working together to keep our country and communities safe. If you are ready for a new mission, join U.S. Border Patrol and go beyond. Learn more at cbp.gov/careers.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.